So come and hear and be exposed to the wonderful revelation that God gave his disciple John on the island of Patmos. So, Gillian, if you could lead our call to worship. Thank you.
A reading from the book of Revelation. Then a voice came from the throne, saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small." Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear."
A reading from Revelation chapter 1, verses 10 to 18. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. And now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." The word of the Lord.
By himself on the island of Patmos, John had an incredible vision of Jesus. Yes, he'd known Jesus on earth as the carpenter from Nazareth, as the Lord who appeared as one of them, as a man. But in this first vision that God gave him, a symbolic vision of the glory of the ascended Jesus, here John saw the glory of Jesus shining forth in all kinds of ways. Jesus stood before him, and he was surrounded by seven lampstands, symbolizing the seven churches he was to write to. In his hand he held seven stars, symbolizing the pastors of the seven churches. His hair was like wool, speaking to us of his eternal wisdom without age, knowledge of past, present, and future. His eyes blazed, telling us that he sees into the hearts and nations of men. He knows. He is fully in touch, and in touch with the suffering that they were going through at that time in the Roman Empire. His voice sounded like rushing water, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, for Jesus word is powerful. John knew that from hearing him say to the storm, "Peace be still." Saying to Lazarus, "Come forth." The power of Jesus' word continues. And this vision speaks to us, the church today, of the glory of our ascended Lord, who is in the glorious presence of the Father even now, and is praying for us, and yet walks amongst his churches by the presence of his Holy Spirit. Do you see Jesus in his glory? We come to worship him this morning.
Our next scripture reading is from Revelation 2, verses 1 to 7. To the church in Ephesus, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
And so Jesus comes and speaks his word to the churches. And Christ's word to the churches was then to seven churches, but by the Holy Spirit continues to speak to us as his church today. In all seven churches, Christ speaks by saying, "I know." He first of all commends the churches one by one, being positive about their achievements. To Ephesus, he says, "I know your deeds, your perseverance, your hard work, and that you have not tolerated wickedness." But Jesus has a very hard word of correction, for he says, "You have lost your first love." One wonders how the people at Ephesus felt as their pastor read that, a love letter from Jesus. It was probably about 30 years before that the church had been founded by Paul. And we have the letter to the Ephesians that Paul wrote to them. So this was now a much shorter but second letter. And over that roughly 30 years, something had happened, which very easily happens to Christianity, to congregations, and to our hearts. That honeymoon phase of excitement and longing for Jesus slowly ebbs away. And we find ourselves taking things for granted, becoming comfortable. And this had happened to the church at Ephesus. You've lost your first love. Jesus is the Savior of love, and he loves his people with an undying love. He longs to be in that beautiful, intimate relationship of deep love with each of us and with all of us. And so Jesus said, "Repent and remember the height from which you have fallen, or I will remove your lampstand." Sadly, the church at Ephesus is no more. And because of various aspects of history, the church and many churches in this area disappeared. Was it because they continued to be disinterested in the things of Jesus, and finally totally lost a love for Christ. May that never happen to us. May that never happen to Knox congregation. May that never happen in our own lives. And so if there's anything that keeps us from growing in Jesus' love and word, let's be rid of it and be fully committed to the Lord Jesus.
Revelation 5, 1 to 12. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise."
Now, after the seven letters, John is caught up into heaven, into the throne room of heaven. And there he has this incredible vision. It is the throne of God. Around it is an emerald rainbow. On the throne is God the Creator. Seated in front are representatives of creation, creatures, the one with the face of a lion, the one with the face of an ox, the one with the face of a man, and the other with an eagle. They represent the high points of the different categories of creation. Creation is before the throne of God. On either side are 12 elders, 12 on the one and 12 on the other, representing the Old Testament church and the New Testament church, 12 apostles, 12 tribes. And the angels, thousands upon thousands of angels around the throne. This is the pinnacle and high point of worship in heaven. But as the scene changes, he sees not God the Creator, but a lamb looking as if it was slain, and it is at the center of the throne. The throne represents God's rulership, God's kingdom, God's reign. And who is it that executes God's reign but the one who is worthy to open the scrolls? The scrolls represent the will, the last will and testament of God, his plan and purpose for the church and the world. And nobody is found to open those scrolls. John weeps. But the voice comes and says, "Do not weep, because the Lion of Judah, the root of David, the Messiah from the Jews, he is worthy to open the scroll." And so it is that God has chosen his son Jesus to be the executor of his will and to bring and oversee the meaning and purposes of history. You can read much history in this world, but it is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who oversees history for the church and the world. He is at the center of the throne. But the wonder and the mystery is that he is the Lamb who was slain. God's reign in Jesus is a reign of mercy and grace. And so we, through his blood shed for us, have the right to come to his throne and with heads lifted up, worship him with the elders and the creatures. And so as Jesus is worshipped, this cry comes out from the angels and the creatures. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And whenever we worship with God's people or privately, we come to that same throne. We come to that same Jesus, our Lamb, and we say, "Worthy is the Lamb." Let's do that now.
Revelation 19, 11 to 16. The heavenly warrior defeats the beast. "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords."
In heaven, there is glory and praise before the throne. But on earth, it's another matter. And through the book of Revelation, the spiritual battle that is enraging on the earth is shown in all sorts of ways. We see the devil portrayed as a red dragon seeking to devour the child that is born who will rule the nations. But the child is snapped up into heaven, Christ's ascension. And the devil is furious and angry and does war against God's people, the people of the Old Testament, the people of the New Testament. And people are deceived on the earth. The nations rage against God and his chosen one. And so we see much persecution and opposition to the Jews down the ages, even today, and much persecution on God's people of the New Testament, Gentile Christians. God's kingdom has not yet come. The enemy has not yet been defeated. But Christ is coming back, And this section of Revelation portrays the victorious return of Jesus. Jesus spoke about his return himself in Matthew 24 and other places in the Gospels. But here Jesus comes as the victorious king, the victorious one. And he comes against the enemies of God who have opposed God. In the book of Revelation, an antichrist ruler called the beast rises up and seeks to control with the power the world. And he partners with the false prophet, false religion. And that partnership, the unholy trinity of the devil, the beast, and the false prophet, opposes anything connected with God and religion. And if it were not for Christ's return, things would go from bad to worse. But Christ comes back again, for he is the one who has power and who is worthy to break the seals of the scrolls of human history. And so Jesus returns and defeats God's enemies. And the devil, the false prophet, and the beast, and all who have worshipped them are thrown into the lake of fire. But God's people who trust in the blood of Christ and the word of Christ are taken and ushered into the glory of heaven. And so the church awaits for Christ to come in victory. And one day, as Jesus foretold, he will come on the clouds of heaven with great power and glory, bringing his angels with him. And so we rejoice, for the world is heading to a final ending, and it's not a catastrophe, but a victory for Jesus Christ, who is faithful and true, the Lamb of God, who is King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. So let's praise the Lord for that.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride and beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and he their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life."
What an amazing vision. The visions end up on the new heaven and new earth, where God is renovating, renewing all things. Here on this earth, we are so aware of corruption, decay, many situations descending into difficulties, problems, the decline of the church in the Western world, so many things to discourage us. But Jesus Christ is coming back again, and he has an incredible future for his people. What wonderful promises we have here. For he's going to create a new environment, a new city, a new Jerusalem, a new heaven and a new earth. And those who trust in Jesus Christ will be there forever in resurrection bodies. Now you can use your imagination to imagine the wonder and the beauty of all of that. No more aging and dying. No more sadness, depression, disappointments. Just the flow of joy and peace and glory forever. It sounds too good to be true. But Jesus Christ gave this vision to John. The Holy Spirit has preserved us in this beautiful book. And Christ is faithful and true. And so we trust him that this is all real and true. And one day will dawn for all his people. Aren't you looking forward to this incredible promise and hope of what Jesus has? In Revelation, there are two visions of heaven. The first is of a perfect city, chapter 21. And the city is perfect in all its dimensions, beautiful in all its expressions. Many people seek to come to Canada because of good cities, and Toronto has so much going for it. A beautiful city, and yet on this earth with struggle, danger, and corruption. But the eternal Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, will be the ultimate perfect city where we will find total protection, purity, and beauty. The final chapter expresses the new heaven and new earth as water flowing crystal clear with trees on either side, a beautiful garden. And so we have all the refreshment and health-giving foods you could ever want in this particular expression of heaven. But the best of it all is that Jesus is there as the light, giving the light of his being, the light of his creative power. There is no need for a sun or moon, because the Lamb and God the Father emanate the brightness of their being, encompassing us with the warmth of their love. And this is how Jesus ends what he's saying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. And so we come. We come to Jesus. We drink of his love through the Holy Spirit. And we wait in sure hope of this beautiful ending and beginning.